Hello and welcome along to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Emma Knight. And today on the show, we've got another Case Study Sunday, and we are joined by Stevie Waring from Opus Partners. Stevie, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm really looking forward to this case study today because these are some investors who have literally made another investment. Was this their first one or their second?
Their first investment.
Oh, they must be so excited. So walk us through, first of all, their situation before they bought. You know, who are they? What were they hoping to achieve through investing in property?
Absolutely. So this is a couple, we're going to call them Tim and Joe, 51 and 55 years old. They have a lovely house down in Canterbury, in rural Canterbury, and they have been focusing on working hard. They're both self-employed. They've been focusing on paying off their own house. And so when they came and sat down with me, there were a few main goals that they wanted to go through. So the first one was create some financial security in retirement. The others were buy a holiday home, pay off their own house, and help the kids if need be. So they've got a few kids and a few grandkids as well.
Cool. Busy household. So both self-employed. So I know as a self-employed person that sometimes banking can be a little bit more challenging, particularly at kind of this time of year when you're applying for lending and your financials haven't been done for last year's yet because you've got a year to file them, but the bank wants them now. Was that a challenge in this case?
So that's always my first question when saying that they're self-employed is how long have you been doing it? Has your income changed much? So those were the conversations we'd had. He's been directing his company for about 20 years.
So plenty of experience.
Exactly. And then she is a midwife. And so the difference in income is about 10K increase per year and it's pretty stable.
Yep.
So one of the things that's really important when anybody's goal setting, and we always say this, is taking these kinds of more lofty goals, more qualitative goals around financial security, retirement, holiday home, paying down some debt, and actually putting some numbers around them so we're able to put a plan in place. So talk to us about what they actually decided would be their quantitative goals that are actually got some numbers to them.
Absolutely. So being in the job that I'm in, I went straight to the retirement goal and wanted to knuckle that down. So they had actually had really in-depth conversations about this already and had decided that they wanted $105,000 gross income.
Very specific. Year.
Very specific. They'd figured out their net income needed and their awesome. Gross. And it came from the fact that, okay, they're earning a lot more than that today. She wants to stop working, absolutely, but he is probably going to continue in his work for a long time. It's a consultancy, so he can do that. It's not physical.
Yep.
So he can do that for long term.
And so in terms of the $105,000, obviously when you look at what you're earning today, so often when I'm working with investors, I'll think you're probably going to want a similar lifestyle to later on. But let's say, and I don't know the numbers, let's say it was 200 grand that they're earning at the moment. If they're putting an extra 95 onto the mortgage a year, so you've deducted things like that, I take it.
Yep. Exactly right. He's putting extra onto KiwiSaver. They are really aggressively paying off their mortgage at the moment and they are still comfortable. They're still going out for dinners. They're still, you know, buying little treats for their grandkids.
Great.
And I just want to pick up on that because it's really important for everybody at home to just really understand that. So you might be earning a significantly higher amount of income today, but then what you've got to look at when you're setting these goals is, well, what do I spend in order to maintain my lifestyle? And if in retirement you expect that you're not going to have your own home and you're not going to have to be paying childcare, some of those other things, that's where the goal might be smaller than what you're currently earning today. And tell us as well, Stevie, of the two strategies we talk about on the show, the nest egg or the golden goose, which way did they go for?
After speaking with them about what is important, we decided that the golden goose strategy was most important. They wanted to retain their assets and actually live off them.
Okay, so that's where you have your freehold investment properties generating a passive income for the rest of your life, no matter how long you live for. And the great thing about that is if they've got kids and grandkids, you know, you can bundle that up in a family trust, pass that on to future generations as well.
And walk me through as well, Stevie, you know, that's some pretty hefty assets that they'd need. You know, to create about 105K passive income, 4% net yield, we usually say probably just over $2.5 million worth of net assets in today's money they'd need. So the real question is, how close were they to having that level of assets from the outset?
Just with their KiwiSavers, they were on track to have about $505,000 of assets at retirement. And then on top of that, if we added superannuation in, they were actually about 60% of the way there with New Zealand superannuation.
That's great.
Once they both turned 65.
So I've just got a question around the KiwiSaver. So when you're self-employed, like myself, I often am a little bit hesitant to put money into KiwiSaver that I can't touch. touch later on. So if I'm making the contributions for myself and because I'm my own employer, making my own contributions, I don't really see the benefit of having that rather than having a managed fund that I can just control. Was there some thinking around this?
Absolutely. And I think there's the flip side to that as well, which is people like the forced savings. People like the fact that they can't take the money back out. Yep. There's no risk, right? You put it in, that is there for you.
Yeah, that's actually a good point.
And just to give some context to that, I think in this case, I think it was Tim was putting 10% into KiwiSaver and an additional 3% from his business, so putting a significant amount of money in there. I think what's just important to point out as well is they're going down the golden goose strategy, and one of the benefits of that we often discuss is that those assets continue to produce an income even after, you know, we unfortunately head to heaven's pearly gates. Now, in this case...
Or the other way.
I'm speaking about myself here, Andrew. And in this case, because there's probably about 40% of their plan is reliant on government superannuation, that is not going to continue past once, you know, we ascend upwards. So, okay, they've actually got further along their journey than I thought you were going to say. So they've got a 40% gap still to fill, probably about $1 million they've got to make over 10 years because they're about 10 years away from retirement. What's the game plan with investment property?
Well, I think it's also important to mention at this point is that this is all about the retirement and the passive income, right? They still had the goal of paying off their home, their holiday home, and helping out the kids as well. So even though they were relatively close to their goal, there's more that they want to do. And so being too relaxed about their strategy isn't going to work for them if they do want to get their holiday home as well. So what the plan was first of all, let's close that retirement gap, and then as we review and as we continue to work together over the next few years, how close are we to paying off that house? When can we get a holiday home? Because we certainly decided quite quickly that investing was going to come before the holiday home.
Yep.
So the plan was to buy a property in Christchurch now. It's their first investment, it's an undervalued market, and it wasn't going to stretch them financially. And then in 2 years' time, look at something in Auckland if the market was still in an appropriate stage to do so.
And based on the modelling that you're looking at to create those assets, how many properties have you modelled out that they're going to need to build this level of assets?
So when we put the two properties in over the next 3 or so years, we got 92% of the way to their goal. So they were going to have 100K at that point in time.
Oh, they're going to have 100K of passive income.
Correct. 92% of the way there. So because this was relatively new, this was the first investment, we said, okay, let's just park that there. Let's say, hey, are we going to be comfortable with 100K at this point? We can continue to grow after that if we want to when we review. So we did that. We met again and we started looking at some options. When we went through some options, we talked about the fact that actually with the equity they've got in their house and the incomes that they're on, they could actually do two now if they wanted to. So we looked at getting a Christchurch option now, getting an Auckland option now that isn't going to settle until 12 months after the Christchurch option.
Oh, yeah, so something with quite a long settlement date to give them a bit of breathing room.
Exactly.
Great, but still lock in today's discounts.
Exactly right. So we did that. We modelled the numbers, and by doing that, they were going to achieve 107% of their retirement goal just by doing two now.
And that's one of my favourite things that I love to point out. And a lot of you guys at home often text me in and say, hey, I love hearing that sometimes people don't need 10 properties to retire well.
Absolutely.
I only need two, or maybe I only need three, depending on what your situation currently is. Now, these guys are a little bit closer to retirement, but the good thing is, A, because of that, there's a lot of certainty around what superannuation is going to look like for them. Even if the superannuation age of eligibility was raised, they probably wouldn't be captured under it because it would be phased in over time. And the second thing is, if they continue doing what they're currently doing, they're going to be on track to have $500,000 worth of KiwiSaver in today's money. That's really important to point out, in today's money. So they're in a really good position. Now, I know that a big focus for these guys was paying down their debt. And sometimes it can be a bit of an adjustment to say, okay, I'm going to not do that as quickly as I perhaps thought. I'm going to invest instead.
Well, particularly over the next couple of years, while we've got higher interest rates than what we would probably likely see over a long term, so they're going to make higher contributions for the next couple of years. How are they going to manage that?
So they had a plan to pay off their $560,000 mortgage in 5 years' time.
Wow, they're really nailing it.
So they were channeling all of the extra funds into their mortgage. So that was really important. They were really excited about that. But seeing the impact of getting those two properties now showed them how important that was. And so what we did is we worked with their New Zealand Home Loans broker around what is it going to look like if we stretched that out, if we made it a little bit longer. And we talked about how long that would be where they're still comfortable, right? Because they will have a time frame in mind. And we talked about if it was 9 years, how would you feel about that? Would you still be achieving your goal? They said yes. We actually worked with the broker. They only had to extend it by 2 years to get sufficient funds back to cover some of that top up.
And I think that's a good example again, where we see people still able to achieve both of their goals, i.e. paying down debt and investing at the same time, but making a small trade-off between them. Because sometimes, hey, look, an investment, if you invest in one thing, you're not going to be investing in something else. If you're putting your money into an investment property, well, there's less available then to pay down your mortgage as aggressively as they had been doing. But it's quite interesting that they're working with New Zealand Home Loans, which obviously has relationships with a small number of banks, given that they are involved or part of the Kiwi holding company, which also owns Kiwi Bank.
Not Kiwi Bank, but...
Not owned by Kiwi Bank, but owned by the same company that owns Kiwi Bank. They've sent me a letter about that before. So how are they going to implement like the split banking strategy in that instance?
That's been a tough one because they've been working with their New Zealand Home Loans broker for a long time. They have a great relationship with them and they're incredibly grateful at how much they've paid off already. So we talked about the importance of split banking, and what they've actually done is had a meeting with their New Zealand Home Loans broker and explained to them, hey, we really want to keep working with you on our owner-occupied property, but if you aren't able to go to the other banks, if you aren't able to provide us with split banking, we're going to have to go with another mortgage broker just for the investment properties.
And sometimes people think that you could only have one mortgage advisor, but in this case, you know, New Zealand Home Loans could do a really good job at helping you pay down owner-occupied debt, but aren't always the right fit for investors. So that's where you might use two in this instance, one for your owner-occupied, one for an investment property.
So I think it'd be great to cover off some of the challenges that these guys went through in all this process.
Absolutely. So other than having to extend out their mortgage repayments for a couple of years, the biggest thing is thinking about the environment that we're in at the moment. I mean, they are not immune to all of the media articles that are going on at the moment, all of the increases in interest rates, everything that's going on. You know, a longer settlement for that second property raises some questions. So we've spent a lot of time working through what those interest rates might look like. And I know that you guys talk about it a lot on the podcast as well, modelling those top-ups and making sure that we have a really good buffer built up during the build period so that they're going to be comfortable servicing the two investment properties and still paying off their mortgage.
And it's actually just quite an interesting point. Like, one of the interesting things about the investors that I'm working with at the moment is, you know, they are doing something against the grain. And so it is a big consideration when, you know, you're doing something that the media and your friends and your uncle Lester is telling you not to do. But people like that, that are brave enough to be doing things now, are going to be so thankful that they did in the future.
Exactly. And we have had many, many meetings over the last few weeks and modelling out many spreadsheets around cash flow to make sure that they're really comfortable, because at the end of the day, it's a big decision, but it's going to pay off as long as it is well thought out and we've planned for everything we can.
Fantastic. Let's wrap it up there. But please don't forget to rate, review and subscribe to the Property Academy podcast. Really does help us get the message out to more people. And hey, if you want to put a plan in place and invest in property like Tim and Joe here, then come in for a portfolio planning session. Completely complimentary. You'll be able to walk through the exact software that Stevie's talked about, which we've built in-house, called My Wealth Plan. Tell you what, easy way to do this, pull out your phone, send us a text. Our number is 5522. And if you text us the word plan, we'll give you a buzz, see if it's the right fit for you. Listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Evan Knight. And we're going to be back again tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics, and insights to help you get the most out of the New Zealand property market. Until next time.